Most holy God, the earth is filled with your glory, and before you angels and saints stand in awe. Enlarge our vision to see your power at work in the world, and by your grace make us heralds of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. This morning's first reading is from Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 8 and 9 through 13. A reading from Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook, and the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed from you, and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Go and say to this people, keep listening, but do not comprehend. Keep looking, but do not understand. Make the mind of all this people dull, and stop their ears and shut their eyes, so that they may not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and comprehend with their minds and turn and be healed." Then I said, "How long, O Lord?" And he said, "Until the cities lie waste without inhabitation and houses without people, and the land is utterly desolate, until the Lord sends everyone far away, and vast is the emptiness in the midst of the land. Even if a tenth part of it remain, it will be burned again, like the terebinth or an oak, whose stump remains standing when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump." The word of the Lord.
Thanks to you, Lord.
Today's psalm, is listed in the bulletin, and it kind of starts on the front page, and then it goes to the insert. So it's Trixie this morning. Pay attention. Hope you're all awake. You get to read the bold print. Psalm 138. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise.
I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted your name and your word above everything.
On the day I called you, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul.
All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth.
They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord.
For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he perceives from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me.
The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands.
And the second reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which you also stand, through which also you are being saved. If you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and by his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is in me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to rise for the gospel as you are able. The gospel for this morning is taken from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water. Let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled the partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you'll be catching people." When they brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. I invite any youth to come forward for a children's message at this time.
Good morning, Madeline.
Great. Thanks for coming up this morning. Have you ever been in a group where they were picking sides or trying to pick a team, and you, different people were getting chosen to be on the team? What do you do to get chosen? Do you try to do anything to increase your odds of getting chosen? Okay, you try to be good at something. If you're picking up teams for a sport, you try to maybe look like you're going to be good at this sport or stand up a little bit taller or something like that. Oh, great. Sounds good. You go up towards the front, pick me, make yourself visible, right? That's one of the ways that we try to get chosen or to be recognized, to increase our odds, opportunities. One of the Old Testament lessons for this morning is how Isaiah was called by God. And I think that it's interesting that he said, "I'm a person of unclean lips. I'm from a group of people with unclean lips." It's kind of a strange phrase, isn't it? Unclean lips. What he's trying to say is that he felt unworthy, that he wasn't acceptable to God. And so he didn't think that he should be called. But God said, "No, take this coal, put it towards your lips," and then coal was a way of purifying, and then told him that you are worthy, that I do want you to be my prophet, I do want you to speak. And so then Isaiah was willing to say, "Here am I, send me, here am I, choose me," that kind of thing. Last week, the call that we talked about was Jeremiah. Remember what Jeremiah said when God called him to be a prophet? He said, "I can't do that. I'm just a kid. I'm just a youth." But God wouldn't listen to that either. He said, "That's okay. It doesn't matter if you're just a youth. You're still my person. You're still the one I want to go send to talk to these people." And then he said, "I'll give you the words to speak so you won't have to worry about it." And then in today's gospel, we had another call story about Jesus calling Simon and James and John to be disciples. They go out in this boat. They cast their nets. They get this huge catch of fish. Simon is overwhelmed. He says, I'm not worthy to be a disciple. But Jesus says, remember what he says? The first thing out of his mouth? Get your act together. Is that what he said? No. He said, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And then they went back to shore. They got there. And then the next phrase out is, they left everything and followed him. That Simon, James, and John, they left everything and followed Jesus after that. Do you think that would be kind of difficult, perhaps, to leave everything? Can you imagine what that would be like?
Yeah, had a lot of fish.
Had a lot of fish, yeah. What about those fish? We never hear what happened to those fish, right? They're in the boats, two boats overflowing. We never hear what happened to the fish. There's a sense of urgency that they left everything to follow him. And I'm not encouraging you to leave Mitkoff Island and not tell your folks or anything. But there's a calling where God is calling us to make him the first priority in our lives, to leave everything and follow. And you don't have to be the one chosen. You don't have to be one that has to be the most visible. You don't have to be the oldest one. You don't have to be the youngest one. You don't have to be the smartest. You don't have to be the tallest. God calls us just the way we are, and God uses us just the way we are and molds us into the people that he wants us to be. Will you join me in prayer? Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us just as we are, for using us just as we are. Amen. Well, this morning, I'd like to have you take your cookie, and I want you to tell me what kind of shape of cookie you have. You have a tree, you have a flower. What else do we have?
Diamond.
Diamond. Any other shapes in there? Take a look for a couple other cookies. Heart. So why would I have all sorts of random different shapes of cookies in that bag this morning? Oh, that would be, it is Valentine's Day coming up, but that wasn't the reason. It's kind of unique. I wanted them to be unique and different because God calls each of us just as we are and that we have gifts just as we are, and God's going to use you just as you are as well. And that's why they're all different shapes, because you're all different, but you're all chosen. Thanks for coming up. Invite the congregation and join in singing our next hymn.
Grace and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching people." When they brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. They left everything and followed him. It was Saturday night, and I had traveled to Boise, Idaho, to preach at a church on Sunday morning. I got a call from Carol late that night. "I'm not doing well. I think I need to go to the emergency room." "What's going on? Can you drive yourself, or do you need someone to call the ambulance for you?" "I think I can drive." "Okay, I'll check out of the motel, and I'll meet you at the hospital in Jerome." A few hours later, Carol had an appendectomy. "What does it take for you to leave everything and follow?" Years before, my son was about 9 and gaining confidence riding his bicycle. One day we went for a ride. All went well until we crashed. Unfortunately, he fared worse than I did. His helmet was cracked. He had a bloody mouth. We quickly made it home, got Carol, drove to the emergency room. Thankfully, after a few stitches, he was okay, and we headed back home. What does it take for you to leave everything and follow someone? For Simon, James, and John, their encounter of going fishing with Jesus was enough. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching people." When they brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. It usually takes something fairly significant, perhaps drastic, to get us to leave everything and go. A trip to the emergency room, getting a technical foul or getting ejected from the game, a phone call from your son or daughter or grandchild, or heaven forbid, a call to jump ship. That's what makes this story about Simon, James, and John leaving everything and following Jesus. I'd like to think that you and I would have responded the same way if we had been there. They did have an amazing experience. Jesus was on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, telling the people about God. The crowds were pressing in on him. He knew something needed to change. He saw the two empty boats and the fishermen cleaning their nets next to them. Jesus gets into Simon's boat, asks him to go out a little ways so that he can talk to the crowds. After Jesus is done talking to the people, he tells him that he wants to go fishing. He tells Simon to go out into the deep water and put out his nets. Simon complains, "They've been fishing all night and haven't caught anything. Why should they expect anything different?" You've heard the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Most likely, Simon was exhausted, looking forward to going home and getting some sleep. It must have seemed kind of like an imposition that Jesus got into Simon's boat, asked him to put out a little way from the shore, and then to go out fishing. Yet Simon did what Jesus asked. Doubtful of the outcome, they let down their nets. When they do, they catch more fish than they can deal with. So they call the friends out in another boat. They fill both boats to the point where they're about to sink. "By the way, I'm still waiting for someone to take me out on a day of fishing like that in Petersburg." But back to the story. Simon, overwhelmed with fear, responds, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Jesus says to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching people." And when they brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. After their encounter with Jesus, their lives are forever changed. But were these fishermen exceptional candidates? Did they have exceptional credentials? Peter acknowledges that after fishing all night, they had failed to catch any fish. That's the reason Jesus can ask Simon to take him out in his boat. There weren't any fish in it waiting to be cleaned. It's evident Jesus did not call these men because they have exceptional gifts, even for fishing. Jesus calls them after he's shown that he can catch fish through them when they can't do so on their own. Simon isn't called to catch people because he will necessarily be good at it, but because Jesus can do it through him. Simon must have been caught by surprise. In the midst of his ordinary grind, after a particular bad night of fishing, he has an encounter with Jesus. Then everything changes. It's like when we, in the midst of our daily, ordinary grind, get that phone call that causes us to be alarmed, and we drop everything. Amazed by the power of God displayed in the abundant catch of fish, Simon is immediately aware of his unworthiness. Yet Jesus doesn't belittle Simon and just tell him, "Get up, we've got work to do." Jesus' response is once again that simple phrase that sustains us, that phrase which calms our fears a bit after we receive that alarming phone call. "Do not be afraid." "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching people." And when they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. Although they probably just had the greatest catch of their fishing careers, Simon, James, and John leave their boatloads of fish behind and follow Jesus. This encounter with Jesus completely reorients their lives. That's the way it is with us sometimes. Oh, we may not leave our boats, our jobs, our families, but when we have an experience with God, our faith comes alive in a new way. And we can imagine God may use us in a way that we had not imagined before. I wonder if it was easy for Simon, James, and John to leave everything. Will it be easy for us? Jesus tells them, "Go out into the deep water. Put down your nets for a catch." Weren't there any fish closer to the shore where it would have been safer? Perhaps the text is telling us that sometimes we're called to go into deep water, called to bring a word of hope to the challenges in our families or our work or our relationships. Perhaps the church itself is being encouraged to drop its nets for a catch into our somewhat chaotic world, places where not everything is as black and white as it appears to some. What deep water has God called you into? Times of challenge? Helping others in times of sickness? Supporting a friend in need at school? Or perhaps the question is, what deep water have you gotten yourself into that you need God's help to get you out of? Is it work-related? Does it have something to do with your family or your kids or grandkids? Does it have something to do with feeling pressured into things you don't want to do? Does it have something to do with feeling overwhelmed by financial challenges or feelings of hopelessness that things are beyond control? To Simon, James, and John, Jesus first said, "Do not be afraid." Then they left everything and followed him. That was asking a lot of Simon, James, and John, wasn't it? It would be asking a lot of us, wouldn't it? Yes, it is. It's asking everything of us. The fishermen responded by leaving everything and followed him. They were most likely average fishermen, doing what they did every day, minding their own business, cleaning their own nets, and after a long, discouraging night of work, Jesus comes along, enters into their normal, mundane lives, and changes everything. Jesus calls Simon and his partners as they are. Simon is acutely aware of his unworthiness, but Jesus isn't put off by the slightest. Jesus doesn't ask Simon to get his act together. "Get your resume prepared. Come back for an interview." Rather, Jesus tells him and encounters him as he is, tells him not to be afraid, and calls him to a new mission of catching people. Throughout Scripture, we see that human sin and inadequacy are no obstacle to God's call. God calls imperfect people to do God's work, people who are aware of their unworthiness and are often doubting God's resistance to God's call. God doesn't wait for them to shape up. God calls them as they are and then molds them into the faithful servants that they will become. Simon initially resists when Jesus tells him to go out into the deep water, let down the nets, because he's convinced the fish aren't biting. They've worked all night and caught nothing. We can hardly blame him for his skepticism. Perhaps the text is inviting us to consider how often we might resist Jesus' claim on our lives, because what he's calling us to do seems crazy, impractical. How often do we avoid putting out into the deep waters of life, of following and bearing witness to Jesus, because we're being pushed outside our comfort zone or doubting that we'll see any results? One commentator wrote, "What might it mean for us to go deep sea fishing with Jesus, to trust him and follow him outside our comfort zones, to let go of our certainties, to have our lives radically reoriented?" For most of us, it will not mean leaving our current professions behind, like fishermen or nurses or teachers, although we can't rule out that possibility. In baptism, we're called to use the gifts that God has given us in service to others, to share the good news of Christ in word and deed, right where we are. Jesus' mission doesn't wait till we think that we're ready. The need for gospel in this world is far too urgent. We're called right now, in spite of our frailty, our failures, our doubts, even in the midst of our messy, ordinary, complicated lives. Jesus' words to Simon Peter are words to us. Do not be afraid. We trust that Jesus will keep working through us, catching us as he's caught others, and as he has caught us in the net of God's mercy and love. We cast the net and trust that catch is in God's hands and God will provide. Amen. I invite you to stand as you're able and join in singing hymn number 817.
Small.